This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. Stay safe, and if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink wise.
Question time on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. Stay safe, and if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink wise. Just a reminder, you can send your questions on Facebook and Twitter, and also email thesoundingboard@crocmedia.com. Jake Lambert on email. Love this show, guys. What is Hutchie's relationship with Sam McClure like? The chemistry between the two seems frosty at best on Footy Classified.
Jake, I'm a big Sam McClure fan.
I didn't watch last night, but apparently Sam was on.
He was. Did a great job. He works for us, Jake, so he does sports day for our business every night from 6 o'clock. If we weren't a massive Sam fan, and I wasn't, we wouldn't be giving him one of the biggest plum jobs in broadcasting. So I know that I relate to the fact that he can polarise a few as a journalist because I was the same.
He's very good.
I was a much worse version of the polarising than Sam is at the same age. But I think he's got a huge, tremendous talent and upside.
No, he's very, very good. Is it frosty with you and him on air? I haven't noticed that.
No.
Okay.
No, but I'll probably lurch into the... You know how when BT's on television with a journalist who's younger than him, he just lurches into that kind of borderline bully mode of just, I don't respect the journo in the room. He does it with you. He does it with Tom Brown on the 7 now. He's developed a stick.
Yeah. He's talking about accountability, BT. Seriously. Yeah.
Maybe I inadvertently do that to Sam and don't realise. So I'll work on it.
All right. I might look into that, Hutchie, if you are doing that to Sam, and I think you should stop it if you are.
I just gave him a little backhander last night, playfully, and I think it was a good call, bad call or something.
Jacob Barsh on email. It's also a Footy Classified question. Why is it on at such a late time, 10:45 this week? It doesn't make sense, as the main channel is showing us a Guy Sebastian doco. The digital channels are showing with Pete's. What time is it filmed? Wouldn't it make more sense to get closer to an 8 p.m. time slot, even on Jam, and reach a bigger audience?
So I've had a long think about this over a long period of time, Jacob. Let me give it to you straight, and let me declare my lack of interest in this. We, our business, don't make Footy Classified, so I'm not conflicted in any way. It's not our product. I just turn up and do a role.
Well, there's a unique situation there. Yep.
I feel, Jacob, incredibly blessed that the non-broadcast rights holder in Australian television would commit to 14 years of Monday night AFL programming for the masses and back that up with an extra investment into a second night in the 14th year at a time when they could have easily gone the other way.
So and continuing to run during the COVID-19 shutdown when so many other football programs of a host broadcast nature
have shut down.
Fell by the way.
And back in 2007 when we began, you couldn't watch the clips on Twitter the next morning. You couldn't catch up with the pieces on Facebook. You couldn't watch it on 9 now afterwards. It is distributed, redistributed, cut up in so many different ways now that if anything happens in the show that you don't or can't access in pretty much your own time, you haven't got the right platform set up on your phone. So I feel blessed that the Nine Network have given it the run it has, and I feel quite incredibly lucky to have been there from the start. So it's close to my heart, and yeah, sure, it gets shunted out to 10, 10:30, 11 sometimes in the national schedule, but people in Sydney are making decisions on the show in Melbourne, and they're trying to marry it to a national grid, and as a programmer myself, I know how impossible that is. So I see, and all the talent and producers get frustrated because everyone's passionate about their craft. I say to everyone, it'll be what it is. How lucky are we that it exists and we can do catch it whenever we choose.
Yep. And people still watch it, actually. If it's on at 11 o'clock at night, the numbers are the same as they are every single week if it's on at 9:30. Joey Kazina on Twitter, Hutchie, do you guys think that the AFL will in future years be more willing to have a more floating fixture where they can flex games in and out after this year? I'll jump in there, Joey. If we don't, as an industry, take out some of the learnings out of what we've been forced to embrace this year, we are kidding ourselves. And I would think that the days of a very boringly structured 22-week season where you know what you're doing in August 30 on the previous October is out the window. Surely, Hutchie, please tell me it is.
Yeah, I think the floating fixture's here forever. There'll be an indicative fixture probably in the future, subject to change.
And as always, thanks for your questions that you send in to us here on the Sounding Board for Red Energy, 100% Australian electricity and gas. James R via Twitter, why do TV news services continue the push to we go live too, reporting. It adds nothing to most stories and could be quite costly. Example, tonight they will cross live to Marvel Stadium to talk about the fixture changes, which were done this morning. I hear what James is saying there, but I think it provides an energy to the the product. And you can't assume that every single person who's watching that broadcast is aware of what's about to be said. And I think it provides a live element to it. It provides a bit of a spark to the coverage. I think the Channel 7 show, I find, is really good at that. We go live too. It's a really...
Talking heads are more interesting often than the stories themselves. And it's the pageantry, James, of television.
Yep.
It's pageantry. I saw a great example on the weekend. I hadn't never noticed it before, but it's in line with the same theme. I was watching I think it was the 7 News, and 7 News with so-and-so, the music comes in. The 7 News starts now.
Right.
Well, when else was it going to start? Starts in 5 minutes. When else was it going to start? But it's a pageantry of the delivery.
Yeah. And Michael Usher, I can actually see Michael Usher saying, we go live too.
Did you see Michael Usher?
I'm watching it. I'm watching it thinking, what are we going to hear now? Even though I think I know what's about to be said.
See Michael Usher get a bit emotional during the Jim Wilson exit?
Did he? I didn't. Yeah.
Jimmy, you got a 10-minute farewell on the news, Jim.
10?
They did a 10-minute piece on him on the news.
I want to go back and find that.
And it was wonderfully cut.
He deserves every minute of it.
They brought out all the people he worked with. It was great. But hang time, Michael Usher got a little emotional and showed a side of him, I reckon, that would have endeared himself to his audience.
Oh, good.
People have seen Michael as the serious
news
guy, but... Yeah, I thought he was humanised more in that 10 minutes than I'd seen him.
There you go. I'm going to go back and find that.
Hang time.
My mate, Jim.
From Jared Wilch, Damo, how many pairs of glasses do you own? Also, do you get the pair worn on this week's episodes of Access All Areas from Dame Edna? Oh, that's hang on. I was just reading that without reading the question. That's offensive.
I usually keep a pair for 2 years before they just get too run down and the actual glass itself needs a replenish. So I try and get 2 years out of each pair, but maybe in COVID-19, Hutchie, this pair, which I think is into its second year, might be getting a third and fourth year run around because they're bloody expensive. Because the lenses, because I need Coke bottle prescriptions, Hutchie, it must cost a bit more because the actual glass inside the glass itself is very expensive.
What do they cost?
Well, the frame, you've got a cost on the frame, but you're just basically...
So end to end, what's that?
I can't remember, but it's lots. The frame itself is where the money is, and yet I somehow have to end up paying more for the actual lenses.
So what are we talking? What sort of frame are we talking? $1,000.
Oh, easy.
$1,500.
It depends. Yeah. And there's always a new technology on the actual lens itself. Actually, this is a lot finer. This is better. No, only one pair though, Jared, at a time. I probably should rotate them a bit more.
AFL should be able to commercialise that with Specsavers or something.
Yeah. Can you do that something there? Hutchie, have you managed to watch The Undertaker Last Ride? If so, your thoughts? Was it a good watch? David Haley poses that.
David, I'm dying to watch it. I've been watching the clips only and I've been reading the news stories that come out of it. I can't wait to watch it.
Okay.
I think it'll be... I think even you would love it, Damo, as a non-wrestling guy.
No. I've barred that. I've barred soccer and I've barred WWE, Hutchie. I've given both sports a go over the years, multiple goes, but I can't, and I've got better things to do right now. Tom Haddad, do you think the AFL will look at bringing back 20-minute quarters for finals, or is the 16 minutes here to stay for the year?
16 to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, you couldn't have a qualification period of home and away matches and then change the criteria upon then being required to win a premiership. So, no, it'll stay. Richard, for next year, I think it'll go back to 20. Richard Knight, will state premiers realise that having all the power regarding COVID restrictions may actually be a bad for them politically, as seen with Dan Andrews this week and the negative press regards the spike in numbers?
Fear is generally, I don't say this casually, the friend of the politician, and the ability to control, contain and keep people safe adds to your ratings. I read some data this morning, Richard, coincidentally on the way in on my phone this morning as I prepared for the sounding board. 5 of the 6 premiers have had approval ratings go up, or is it 6 or 7? I'm not sure. And how many? Is there 6 premiers? Yeah, 5 of the 6. And then one has had them go down, which is Dan. And Dan at the moment is the only one that hasn't got it under control. Dan's obviously had a significant event in the background happened through this time in the Labor Party as well, which could have, would have, should have contributed to it. So, I think, put it this way, if you've got your state under control, and the bloke in WA has got 95% approval rating or something right now, he's not opening the borders willy-nilly anytime soon and taking the risk politically, is he?
No. Why would you?
Why would you take that chance? You'd be looking.
But you almost want to come to an election pretty soon, don't you? And seeing we've got into politics, Hutchie, inadvertently, let's finish.
Which is our area of expertise, obviously.
It's not mine, and it isn't yours, certainly. Wilbur Morley, with yet another scandal coming out in the Labor Party, is it time for a full independent audit of our political parties? Surely in this new crazy world, we can figure out who is not aligned with Australia's best interests.
Wilbur, it's very simple. If you don't like something, just go and express yourself through the polling booth. And nature takes its course.
And Wilbur, there is no chance that would actually weed out and wade out the problems to which you refer. It's here to stay. It's just a matter of how they do it and how they cover it up. So that's the Australian political landscape, according to you and me, Hutchie.
That's about the extent of our knowledge, Damo. Yeah. This has been the sounding board, by the way, for DrinkWise. Stay safe. And if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink wise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo for DrinkWise. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts.